When we look at the pages of the Gospels, we find this very odd sort of math, that the math doesn't always add up like we are used to. It's the only reason why a shepherd would leave 99 sheep, putting them at risk, just to go find the one sheep that is lost. And the only way to explain how the first will be last and the last will be first is if you change some of the numbers in that equation. And it explains why Jesus is so disappointed in the disciples when he overhears them arguing about who is the greatest. That Jesus has a way of reversing the greater than and less than symbols. That it doesn't always add up like we are used to. That when I was growing up, the number 100, the bigger number, was greater than the number 5, the smaller number. But that's not always the case in the odd math of the love of God. Which means when we are wrapped up and weighed down by the small, seemingly insignificant tasks of every day, we might make the mistake of assuming that small is less than big. And when Paul wrote this small letter to Timothy, I'm not sure he imagined us gathering in this big room around it, listening to those words and asking what they might mean for our lives. That Paul was writing to Timothy because he had taken on this new mantle of leadership, and now he's facing all these obstacles, most of which we don't know about. That we don't know much about when this letter was written or where this letter was written, so it limits our understanding of it. But in another way, it might make it more accessible to us. Because when Paul writes other letters and talks about other obstacles, like whether to eat meat sacrificed to idols or not, that's not a question on our grocery list that we are pondering walking the aisles at Kroger. That those kind of obstacles, we have to make this grand leap from that world to our world. But when Paul writes to Timothy, dealing with general struggle and serious disappointment, we understand those things. That Timothy is trying to finish the race and keep the fight in the same way that Paul did. And we understand what it means trying to remain faithful to God, especially when it costs us something. It's what the letter means when it says, "Guard the good treasure that you have been entrusted with." And so many times that takes place in the small things of life. And Jesus tells that story about the Pharisee and the tax collector, where the Pharisees were well-known religious leaders who had so much respect, experts in the law, the best Bible study leaders in town. But the tax collectors, they were oftentimes feared, employed by Rome, controlling Israel, charging people more than was justified, even those who did not have much to begin with. And they both go to the temple to pray. The Pharisee standing by himself, but saying loud enough for everybody else to hear, "Thank goodness I'm not like those other people, especially that tax collector. I mean, I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of my income, making a big deal about all those big credentials. But then the tax collector, standing by himself, saying, not even above the sound of a whisper, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." It was a small, simple gesture of honesty and repentance. And Jesus told that story to people who held others in contempt, looking down on them because they didn't think that their lives amounted to anything big. But Jesus has this way of reversing the greater than and less than symbols, saying those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Now, God loved them both. God heard both of their prayers. But when we are willing to embrace the ways of humility, we further open ourselves up to the transforming love of God. And every now and then we have witnessed it. It's like that middle schooler who finally gets up enough courage to get up from the lunch table and walk all the way to the end to sit down next to that student who is obviously being avoided and sits down and says hello and just eats their lunch with the other student. It seems like a rather small thing. But nothing could be further from the truth in the odd math of the love of God. Or whenever another church member shows up for us, sitting with us, supporting us, celebrating us, seems like a rather small thing, but it's actually, in the odd math of faith, an enormous thing. We've got to learn to use the greater than and less than symbols in better ways. I remember when I was first confronted with that grand dilemma that perhaps we all face at one point or another, where you've got to make this decision, whether you're on that side or this side, that it's clearly an us versus them kind of thing. And I'm not sure it's one of those things you can avoid in the deep South. It is a forced decision that you've got to decide whether Ford or Chevy makes the best pickup truck. I still remember when I was faced with that dilemma. I was spending time with my older cousin who was already in college. And I always had this crick in my neck after spending time with him because I looked up to him so much. And on that day, I discovered he was a Chevy guy, which meant everybody else driving a Ford was dead wrong. I didn't even have a driver's license, and I felt like I had to make this decision that would determine the outcome of my life. And it had nothing to do with consumer ratings or towing capacity. It was like that conflict between the Hatfields and the McCoys. You were either on one side or the other. And unfortunately, there's a whole list of those kind of debates constantly circling us. But like that blind spot in the passenger side window, they end up hiding what is truly important. That we have to learn how to use the greater than and less than symbols in better ways. Eugene Peterson, who wrote The Message, which was a paraphrase of the Bible, was sitting in seminary class with Dr. William Albright, who was one of the most premier biblical scholars of the last 100 years. That he was a biblical scholar and an archaeologist, he had a significant role in authenticating the Dead Sea Scrolls, which we rely heavily upon in order to translate scripture. And he came to class one day as excited as a kid on Christmas morning, that he made this major discovery, and he wanted to share it with all of his students, that he now knew the historic location of Mount Moriah, where that story of Abraham binding Isaac took place. And in a fury of excitement, he went to the blackboard and he started to make his case, outlining all the details. He wrote in all these ancient languages, from Ugaritic to Assyrian to Arabic to Aramaic to Hebrew. He explained it down to the very fine detail. But then the unthinkable happened. Another student, Prescott Williams, raised his hand. He said, "Dr. Albright, I don't think that adds up." And the room got silent. They had no idea what the professor would say. But Williams just went right into his reasons, explaining why he didn't think that added up. And when he finished, Dr. Albright looked at Williams, and he looked at the blackboard, and he looked back at the class, and he goes, "Forget everything I said. Williams is right." And Peterson never forgot it. Not because this professor had every accolade you could imagine, but because he embraced the simple ways of humility. That small things truly matter. That oftentimes we are overwhelmed by all of the small things because we don't see their value. Every now and then we catch a glimpse of it. That maybe we have said over 100 times, "I'm praying for you." If we've said that to a friend having a tough week or a church member awaiting surgery, that it seems like a small thing, "I'm praying for you." Until we are the ones sitting in the waiting room where we keep looking down at our phone, waiting for the surgeon to call us to let us know that our loved one is okay. Until we are the ones rolling over and over in bed, looking at the time on the alarm clock because we cannot sleep, because we keep replaying what the doctor said to us. And then someone comes up to us and says, "I am praying for you." And we realize that is no small thing. That we get overwhelmed with the small things because we oftentimes don't see their value, the value they have in other people's lives. But those small, humble efforts of kindness and dedication turn out to be extremely meaningful for others and for us. That our lives become more meaningful when we embrace the odd math of the steadfast love of God. Amen.